listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Missy be putting it down. I'm the hottest round. I told y'all motherfuckers, y'all can't stop me now. Listen to me now. I'm lasting 20 rounds. And if you want me, nigga, then come and get me now. If you with me now, the biggie, biggie bounce. I know you dig the way I switch my style. Holla, people singing round. Now people gather round. Now people jump around. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on a Saturday, which means it's feedback time for you Negroes. That's right. Feedback time. That's when we talk about all the stuff that you guys have done and said and commented on, the stuff that we've commented on, the feedback that you left for each episode on our website, theblackouttist.com. You can go there and leave comments about each episode. You can vote in the polls on each episode. You can email us theblackouttips@gmail.com. You can leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We read those on the air as long as they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. Also, another thing that you can do is donate to the show, and some of you guys did that, and we like to give props to the people that donated. So let me play the song.
Recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day, and we got some donations, okay? Several people put in on this. Cynthia D hit us with that recurring donation. We appreciate you, Cynthia, for looking out for the show, okay?
We do.
I'm on my computer this time, so it might be a little slower. Normally, I do these on my phone. And the phone operates a little what the hell, the phone operates way better than this now. Jesus Christ. Wow. All right, Chance H, recurring donation. Thank you, Chance.
Thank you.
And I believe Chance is a new donator, because I don't think I've heard that name before.
Me either.
So Chance,
the only Chance I heard is Chance the Rapper.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, hit up that new members class, Chance, because that's where you belong now, okay, buddy?
You're welcome, baby. Welcome to the fold.
Oh my God, why is this taking so long? I don't understand what's happening. It's taking like 30 seconds between each email. Like, really? This is what I get for having Yahoo Mail. This is really my fault. Alexis H, recurring donator. Thank you, Alexis.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. I think, is Alexis new too? Alexis might be new too. I don't think I remember saying Alexis age.
Yeah, if you ain't brand new, we know you recent, baby.
June, recurring donator. Thank you, June.
Hey, June.
You guys know June from Harlem?
Yes.
Shout out to her. That's a brand new recurring donator as well.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you for supporting us to put something in on this collection plate.
I know. We so thankful that your pastor allowed you to come over here. Pastor Eljoy Williams allowed you to come over here and spend some time with us. So we thank you just for your presence.
Yep. Civic Sundays. Wait, Sunday Civics?
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that backwards? That's a great podcast.
It is.
Check it out with Eljoy Williams. April G hit us with the recurring donation. Thank you very much, April.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it's going to take an hour to get through these. Jesus Christ. What is going on? Seriously, Yahoo? This is why I should have stayed with AOL.
Did your connection would have been better?
Corey the Tickler hit us with the recurring donation. Thank you, Corey. We appreciate you, bruh. Long time donated to the show.
I know, right?
All the way from I remember from Keith and the Girl message boards.
I know, baby. I think he in the Deacon board now. He done been here long enough. He done aged into the group, ain't he?
Yeah. Brianna F is a recurring donator. Brianna gotta be new. I don't remember saying this name before.
I would remember. That's a unique name.
Brianna, I would have remembered that. Conrad, hey, of course, Brianna, is the official first time donator of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the leader of our new members class.
I know. We should be having a graduation class soon. So for those of you, going looking at all these new members, eventually they'll be graduating. He'll let us know. We'll put the schedule out on itinerary.
Mm-hmm. So y'all, if you see Conrad, tell him thank you.
Yes.
Tabitha M with the recurring donator. We appreciate you as much, same way, Tabitha. Jesus Christ, this takes forever. I'm sorry. This gonna be the whole show right here, y'all. Just me waiting on
it to load again.
Right? And then it's teasing me because at the bottom it's like, try the new Yahoo Mail. I'm like, I might need to try the new Yahoo Mail.
Oh, that's how they get you.
Maybe that's what
they be like, look, we're gonna drag.
They make the old one short, small.
Right.
Kyle Fonny G, recurring donator. Is that? I'm gonna try the new Yahoo Mail, right? Live on the air. Christopher D.
Right.
Recurring donator, Chris from Hawaii. Appreciate him. He's always shouting us out.
Yes, he is. Thank you with them isms, Rod isms, Karen isms.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always shouting us out on Twitter. We always see you in the hashtag. Giving us love, man, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, you got that. Yahoo trying to trick you. They're like, hey, you want that new? We gonna slow that old stuff down so you can go this new.
That's, I just switched over to the new right now, cause I was just like, I don't know, maybe that's what's holding it down.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, they were like, look, we know some of y'all ain't gonna change, you gonna force you to change. We gonna drag it so slow to be like, fuck it, I get the new shit.
Now it's asking me, do I want to allow notifications from Yahoo? Yahoo, just show me the mail, Yahoo. Goddamn. Bad enough, it's embarrassing enough, I'm still on here. Okay, I'm living in the hood. All my peoples is on Gmail now.
I know, right?
I'm the last one left. Alright, so let's see, who's next? We just did Chris and I. Mm-hmm. Brina H, recurring donator. Thank you, Brina.
Hey, baby.
Jeez, we made it to the end of the song? Oh, God. Let's go to another song.
Oh, we're going to have visiting choir.
Renita N, recurring donator. How are we supposed to keep peace when Yahoo Mail is so slow, y'all? I don't know. Gregory S, recurring donator. It is fast on the new mail. Well, ain't that some shit? This setup. This is the whole setup.
Right. They're like, we gonna drag you to dial up until your ass decide to switch over.
David from Brooklyn, recurring donator. Ricky A, recurring donator. Pretty Ricky, what they call him.
Hey, Ricky.
Film Press Comics, recurring donation. Thank you, Film Press.
Thank you.
Renate M, recurring donator. This is ridiculous how much faster this shit is. Fuck you, Yahoo. Anthony Van D, recurring donator. Oh, my God. I can't believe this. Pete B, recurring donator.
Hey, Pete.
Deborah F, recurring donator. Thank you, Deborah. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you. Olivia from Chicago, recurring donator. Thank you, Olivia.
Yes.
Bomani Jones, all the way up in New York now, recurring donator.
I know, in a move.
Nick Z, recurring donator. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate you. Rita Macy, recurring donator.
Hey, baby.
And that's it. Now that's everybody. You son of a bitch, Yahoo. It's embarrassing.
I know, I quiet done sat down, a new quiet done came.
Mm-hmm.
Where this choir from?
Detroit. It's cold in the D, Karen. You don't know T-Bay? Oh, no, that's just sad.
Yeah.
Everybody know T-Baby. All right, man. Let's get into it. We had some 5-star reviews that people left us, which we appreciate greatly. And we got them in iTunes. You can get any in Stitcher this week, but we read the nice reviews in iTunes. New phone, new review. This is from Pink Graph 1980. It says, Karen and the man who does not know how to eat Kit Kats right. Rod, first of his name, are two amazing hosts who will keep you laughing throughout each episode. Your coworkers will be looking at you, so use your inside laugh if you are in an office space. If not in an office space, let that laughter out with great segments like White People News, Random Thoughts, and Karen's Laughter. Is very hard in any setting to keep the laughter in. So just listen and enjoy the show. Hiroja Sheed. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, baby.
We appreciate you.
We do.
And I do know how to eat Kit Kats right. Y'all the ones that's, there's no right way to eat a Kit Kat, okay? You eat it, you bought it, you eat it how you want to. Don't let nobody tell you what to do with your life. You guys are going to just keep trying to live in that box.
Live outside of the square.
Live outside the square. TBGWT, you see the problem with this Kit Kat shit is if you take the Kit Kat apart and you eat it one by one, what are you doing, guys? You're eating a bar. You know what else got bars? Jail cells. Due to knowledge, brothers and sisters, stop letting them imprison you in their candy matrix, okay? Abolish prison, and that's how you got to start with the abolishing the prisons of your mind. We also got one from Coconut Tree Mafia, who says, TBGWT is part of a nutritious woke breakfast. 5 stars.
Oh.
Hey, Ryder Karen. First time caller, long time listener. Just dropping a line and some stars on here so my fellow churchgoers can stop judging me for not giving my testimony and not paying my tithes.
Come on.
Either way, I hope y'all, I love y'all to pieces. This podcast starts off my day like a steaming cup of coffee, black, two sugars, no cream. Keep being a wonderful rays of sunshine in these gloomy times. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
We will try.
We sure will.
Miss Beatty says, a great listen, 5 stars. Finally paying what I owe, great podcast, give it a listen. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, it might not come when we're ready, but it's always on time.
I declare, anytime you donate, it's on time.
The podcast I always want to hear, 5 stars by Lasala, who says, I discovered TBGWT by searching for black podcasts and you were number one. Hey.
Hey, on top of the list.
This was 2 weeks before hashtag Bernie So Black. I was so proud to finally be ahead of the trend. Words can't really say beyond what everyone else has about how much I appreciate Karen's laugh and points of views and Rod's humor, puns, and political thoughts while I garden, walk the dog, clean the house, drive to work. Thank you. I really love hearing my point of view from two other people, if I'm going to be honest. Thank you for keeping me laughing and informed. I think we all, like, you know, like to know we're not alone in the world the way we think.
Come on.
You know, and I like I said, I listen to so many shows. I don't agree with everybody all the time, but I'm happy to listen to reason critiques and reason perspectives, especially some of the stuff that people try to pass off as reason is so fucked up that, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of sad to hear, but podcasts are a great way to kind of relate to people and hear people from other places, so you know you're not alone. Great podcast. Randall 80 says, Rod and Karen make me laugh so much. They discuss relevant news and the guests they bring on are insightful, but more than anything, there's just love and joy spilling out of this podcast. Thank you, Rod and Karen. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
We try not to get too much of this love and joy all over y'all. I'm sorry. I know it was spilling. I cup runneth over, I guess.
That's a good thing.
Cinco Estrellas, 5 stars. RJ Applewhite says, love Karen and her husband, great content and segments, love the blackness that exudes. Aww. Thank you. We do be trying to exude blackness or spill love and joy over y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Tori Bullock says, love, 5 stars. I love this podcast. Rod, Karen, and Justin feel like my favorite cousins. I can't get enough of them. My mom recommended this podcast to me over a year ago, and ever since I've been hooked. I listen to this podcast daily. Sometimes the same episode 2 or 3 times. Keep up the good work. Wow.
Oh, shout out to mama.
Right? Let's get that intergenerational bonding going through the podcast, though. Nat Katush says 5 stars. I mean, Nat Katush is the name of this. 5 stars by Kenny Jacks. Hi from Natchitoches, or as we say in Louisiana, Nat Katush. What does that mean? KMSL. I don't know what that means either. No, my something else. As
it
usual.
Must be French. Parlez-vous français? Gotta let us know.
Right. I mean, all I know about New Orleans is from Girl Trip. So yeah. If I'm a little behind on the curve, it's my bad. I'm sorry.
I've never been there. Want to go one day. Never been.
Yep. As usual, y'all bring the flames. I really enjoy Rob's pun and Queen Karen's kind of puns.
Yeah, right. My puns ain't that good. Yeah.
Keep up the good work, y'all. Kenny Jacks. Thank you, Kenny.
Yeah, y'all be encouraging my bad behavior, but it ain't, my puns is not good.
I love you guys. 5 stars. G-Rod 2017 says, wonderful podcast, hella funny, keep up the good work, God bless. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's like the Russell Simmons of 5-star reviews. Thank you for coming out. God bless. Good night. all right, guys, we had some comments on our website, theblackouttips.com. Just go to theblackguywhotips.com. Leave every episode has a post. You can comment on it. You can log in, comment on the post, and just leave your thoughts. So we had episode 1483, Angus Beef, which was our feedback episode. Max says, I meant to get to this before the feedback show. So when you talked about that doctor who wrote the book about how to deal with the police, Dr. Mount Varner, I went to Amazon to find out what kind of reviews he got. They were primarily positive. Then I clicked the link to his name to see if he had other books. One of his books was Don't Even Smile, The Other Side of Sexual Harassment.
What?
I was like, wow, what a list of topics to write books on. Oh, so he's basically just the victim blamey guy. That's pretty much what his whole steeze is I blame victims, right? If you get shot by the cops, that's your fault. if you get sexually assaulted or harassed,
that's your fault
as a woman. What was you doing, even smiling at all, you know, walking out the house looking good?
That's part of that. Senator, I'm a house nigga.
Exactly. GWG says, I can't stop thinking about that radio show being linked to Sputnik, basically disguising the disinformation campaign in a leftist package. This is alarming, the implication being that a regressive message can be wrapped in a progressive narrative and people will accept it based on confirmation bias. Subliminal propaganda coming from the left. How many people are parroting these things without realizing that it also serves the agenda of creating instability in our democracy? I'm so glad you are sharing your journey with us through this learning process. You know what, GWG, that's the thing. I felt stupid, honestly, because I was just like, how the fuck I listened to this shit and didn't know? But it's okay. I mean, that's how I felt. I don't think I'm stupid, but I felt stupid.
I know.
But I definitely can see how it can lead to that, because it was very much like, unyielding, unrepentant criticism of anyone on the left, except for like Bernie Sanders or, you know, Jill Stein and those people. It was really nothing said about them. But then like this kind of like, well, you know, this Russia shit ain't no big deal. They just trying to make something out of nothing. You know, they don't have anything on Trump. And I'm just like, why is this? I don't understand how you wouldn't be critical of everybody, you know, which is one of my things. I don't really look for people to agree with my political views. I think that's kind of silly. I don't really measure somebody's, whatever. I don't measure their blackness or value based on like just, do we agree on everything politically? I think that's a dangerous game, and I think people do that shit a little too much these days. Mm-hmm. Like, generally, you can be within 1 or 2 degrees of agreeing on something, and people will still be like, this motherfucking sellout coon, if you knew this, that, and I'm like, okay, whatever, right?
Right.
So I try to avoid that shit, to be honest, because I have too many friends I don't agree with politically, but at the heart of hearts, I agree with what they about. So it's right. Like, and if they got their way, it's not like I would be like, motherfucker, this, you have ruined the world. I'd be like, no, that shit was dope. I just couldn't believe it. Like, it's, you know, we're able to get some type of communal shared economic system or some shit. I'm not gonna be sitting around like, you motherfuckers, why'd you ruin America? I'd be like, oh, that's dope. I just didn't think it was possible here, you know? So I think, what happens with some of this stuff though, it sounds so much like what I see online, where I can tell that it's about having a social circle that agrees with you. And there's a certain social capital to being the, you know, Hillary Clinton said super predators, but I don't point out that Bernie Sanders voted for the crime bill type person. You know, like in my heart of hearts, I can get with somebody who's like, both of those things to me are bad. I can get with that because I feel that way. Like, not just that, like, I don't feel that they're necessarily the same degree of bad, but I do feel that both of those things are bad. You know, I don't think neither one of those ideas have aged well, even with me being a person that was alive at the time and kind of remembering, the crack epidemic and remembering the crime epidemic, mm-hmm. and understanding that black people really did think if we can get these people off the streets, it'll help our communities. That's really
right.
That was black people's thinking at the time, and I'm not saying that because it makes it right. It just shows you how deep the issue is. It's not, you know, white supremacy morphs and changes into shit where it's like, well, you think prison is supposed to help these people be rehabilitated and get off these drugs. No, prison's about to turn into a lifelong privatized institution for these motherfuckers to be getting coins via the government and getting rich forever. Like that, like, we're changing prisons into corporations. Like, that was a thing. So that's how shit morphs. But yeah, that was like, I'm old enough to remember. A lot of people aren't old enough to remember, so to them it's just like, super predators, the fuck? Or he voted for the crime bill, fuck that nigga. But honestly, they probably would have lost the black vote if they was like against the crime bill, because niggas was for it. So it was just such a crazy time. But I say all that to say, like, I understand people who are critical of both. I don't understand how people can be critical of one but not the other.
Come on.
That's the shit that's weird to me, you know? And at the end of the day, my ultimate belief is, if it comes down, if we're talking about actually voting, I still would rather vote for one of them than Trump. So even with all that shit, and I think that gets lost in the shuffle because people have their faves and they get caught up in arguing about it, and then people don't want to get down to brass tacks. But end of the day, I'm pragmatic, and I'm gonna tell you the truth, which is I think Trump is pretty much the worst president we've ever had and the worst thing to happen to America. So if there was anything I could do to avoid that, I would do it. You know, with my vote, that's, I'm spending my vote to make sure he doesn't get in office. That's the obligation I feel personally. I personally feel vindicated. I personally feel like challenged that we have to, that's the goal for us, you know, and I do the same with my local offices as well, but I'm just saying, like, that's how I feel about it. So I don't really get into, some of the politics where people are on the left and they're just so much more critical of the left than they are the right. And I'm always like, what's the goal there? So to kind of listen to that for a few weeks and then realize, oh, the goal here is, and I wasn't like, it made me feel like I was going crazy, but I was like, oh, the goal here is for people to feel not suspicious about Trump and Russia, but to be suspicious about everybody on the left, you know, and not even really everybody that had a chance of winning on the left.
Right.
You know, it's like, we can be super critical of Obama. We can be super critical of Hillary Clinton, but not super critical of Jill Stein, not super critical of Bernie Sanders. And I'm just like, I just can't find the moral barometer that you're using to do this shit. So I don't know. That kind of bothered me, somewhat, but also I do recognize that there are people that think that way that aren't programmed by Russia and shit. So I don't want to say that's what's happening to people, but
no, but
it's a, now that I'm aware that is out there though, it does make you wonder how deep that shit goes.
Right. And it's a glaring spot because these people might have this same voice that aren't quote unquote connected like that. But if I see that, it just red flags. I go, okay, I can't trust what you say now.
Right. So I don't know, that's how I feel. And yeah, it is kind of scary, but I don't know how popular that station is or any of that shit.
Right.
And who knows, maybe it's just white people listening, but it was a black dude. He had activists on, he had other political figures on. I wonder how aware they are of
right
that shit. Like, all that stuff made me think about all it. Just, I don't know, sometimes I feel like all this shit is so overwhelming and I'm just not prepared or capable to process all this shit, or to know everything out there. So
I just
pick what I am convicted about and I just stick to that, because you know, you can't know everything,
right?
You know, like the world is so much bigger than just the U.S. and just the things that we go through.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I can't, and I'm not here to win an award for being right about everything. I don't know everything, and I think so many people are scared to say they don't know something, because then it's like, well, I'm gonna come off looking dumb. But sometimes I just don't know, and I want to be honest about that, because I don't find any value in lying to people or trying to make myself to look like I know a know-it-all. There's no value to that to me, because it's not honest, you know.
Right.
So
then on to that, eventually the lack of your knowledge will come out. So
right.
Just admit you don't fucking know, and you just deal with the consequences of going, I don't know. And honestly, the average person who ain't fucking insane will be like, okay, it's all right, you don't know.
Yeah, I've been reading this book, this Angela Y. Davis book. Y'all might know her. She's an activist. She was I think she was part of the Black Panthers for a little bit, but she was always part of the Communist Party. She ended up being framed for a murder that she didn't commit, and you know, she was exonerated of all that shit. But she had, you know, she's also an author and an academic, and she you know, she has a book out, and I'm reading it, and I want to say it's called, oh man, you know, I don't want to say the wrong name, but let me look up the book. But yeah, see, I'm reading this book, and I want to say it's called like something like The Struggle Never something. Hold on, let me look it up before I tell y'all the wrong thing. I'm gonna tank this shit. Yeah, Freedom Is a Constant Struggle is the name of it. I just started reading it. It's a collection of essays and conversations that she's had from interviews and stuff. And she talks about it. It's like from 2015, so she talks about a lot of current events, you know, Ferguson and Palestine and intersectionality and all this shit. And you know, I love the way that she thinks. I love the way she puts thoughts together, and she sees parallels and struggles. Like, it really speaks to me, because she just has like such a beautiful mind, and like the way that she can see the commonality in other people's shit. You know, she's worldly because she's been places and participated in other people's struggles and learned and seen shit for herself. So it's like, I'm learning via the things she's talking about, being like, oh, so that's what the Palestine Israel shit is about, because I don't know. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? And because I don't know, I'm not like, I'm also a stay in my lane person. If I don't know, I'm not talking about it.
Nope.
You know, so you ain't never, you know, I'll listen to somebody's show and they'll be like, well, that's why, you know, we got to do this with Palestine and Israel. And I'm like, yep, I don't know anything about, not enough about that to be having a point of view or opinion, really. You know, so it's that kind of shit that I may never really know. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not from there. I'm not, you know, invested, but she was just talking about how we have to see the commonalities in each other's struggle and things of that nature, and how big the world is. You know, she's talking about like South Africa and like all, like just adding all this extra depth to it. And I was just like fascinated by the way she saw the world, you know. So is, you know, because there was like a strength to it, and there was definitely a conviction to it. But the other part of it is there's a warmth and a kindness and an empathy to it that I think is lacking so often online, and so often in the interactions I see people have with each other. Mm. Where there's a, like, there, like, it, and it wasn't like capitulation. Like, it wasn't like, it's no big deal. But she was able to be like, well, this was progress, but it wasn't enough. And this is what we need to do in the future, and this is how that should change, and this is how, you know, we can learn, and this is why we need to fight against like individualism and shit like that, where it's like, you know, like how like, for instance, individualism would be like how we look and see Martin Luther King and we go, that was civil rights, Martin Luther King. But it's like, but there's a lot of people behind and parallel
alone,
with,
right?
And, right. So it's like that kind of shit, you know, to hear somebody talk about it in those type of terms, it's really eye opening and informative. But at the same time, like I said, it also lets me know how much shit I don't know.
Right.
You know, like I'm reading, I'm just like, don't know shit about that. Okay. I had to look that up, you know, cause, it's so much shit going on in the world. All that to say, there's a way that I like to see people approach shit, and I just feel like it gets lost now sometimes with the way we kind of talk and the way we get in our circles and shit. And I love my circle because it's comfortable and I don't have to code switch, and there's a value to that. And we act like there's no value to that. There's a huge value to grouping up with your folk, and I wish more people would respect that rather than to knock it down. But at the same time, the way we approach people within and without those circles does kind of, you know, sometimes it feels non-productive, you know, like nothing's being learned and nobody's really listening, you know. So it was kind of cool to read that book after listening to that podcast. That podcast felt very much like, you know, almost unwaveringly, it just felt really biased to me. And then to hear her talk about it, who, you know, is a bona fide activist in person, is kind of like, okay, I can see how you can be critical of a person and still give credit to the progress made underneath that person, or give credit, you know, I can see that. And I think, you know, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, it is. And when you're talking about code switching, the thing about code switching and kind of, like you said, being in your bubbles and being outside of your bubbles, a lot of that code switching stems from white supremacy, because actually black people should not have to code switch. Our language and how we talk really literally should be acceptable everywhere. We shouldn't have to turn ourselves on and off. And for a lot of people, particularly as you get older and as you've trained and as you kind of be in and out these white circles, it's almost like a programming that in your mind that comes on and off automatically. It's like when you access certain settings, it clicks on. And then when you're outside of that setting, it turns itself off. So a lot of people code switch in reality and don't even realize that's what it is, but when you talk to them, they don't even realize that they're code switching. mm-hmm. black people or brown people, you know.
People in general, honestly. I mean, when you around people that go to church, people talk differently.
Right.
When you're at work, people talk differently. But yeah, it's more for marginalized people, obviously.
Correct.
Because they have to fit into this mainstream shit. But yeah, anyway, back to what you were saying. GWG, yes, it was weird. It was kind of scary to, because it just felt like, wow, man, this shit is, sounds super similar to what you see online a lot of times. Right. But, you know, I just don't understand how anybody could, like, I'm honestly, like, if y'all go listen to it, y'all see what I'm saying. I like, that's just the best way to describe it. Like, correct. Just go listen and see what I'm saying, because you really will be like, oh, I run into people like this all the time, and then go, wait a minute, what? Bought and paid for by Russia. Well, no wonder you sound like this. And what the fuck? Why are other people sounding like this? Are they bought and paid for by Russia or what? It just made me kind of paranoid. Falcons Diva says, as soon as I heard Ed McMahon's voice, I knew it was flawless. Oh yeah, we played trivia with people to give away some refrigerators.
That was an easy one. Everybody was like, mm-mm.
Everybody missed it. But we had very few people in the chat that day.
That's true too now.
I just assumed someone guessed and y'all were jamming to the song. I'm one of the later listeners that wishes I was in the chat room that day, because I would have had that magnet. Yep. Also, I was crying laughing at that one reviewer that called Rod everything but Rod. Well, you know how it is, Falcons Diva. Y'all just don't have no respect. The poll was easy. Which business would you invest in? Coffee and BJ's, coffee and finger bangs, both, or neither. 15% of y'all said you would invest in coffee and BJ's. 6% said coffee and finger bangs. That was the lowest one. 20% said y'all invest in both, and 6% said neither one. Tanya G says coffee and BJ's is the best. You can slide on the quality of the coffee with the BJ, but women would expect both to be high quality. Yeah, I guess that's true. You know, that's not a good finger bang market out there. It's really more of a bangy market than a banger market.
Correct.
We had episode 1484, Smelling of Coconut. 10 comments. Woo!
They had a lot to say about coconut rubbing, apparently.
I must have loved this episode. Let's see what y'all had to say. Ann says the racist police officer is also a professor of criminal justice. I can't remember which racist police officer it was, y'all.
Why is so shit. Many
it's only been a week. I'm already like, which one? What did he do? Did he shoot somebody? Lola Gray says, so a ratchet in this cloud strife would not be proud of unlicensed knives and other pointy implements. I would hope not. Tasha Nicole says, please, Rod, please. We the people can't take any more acoustic version of terrorism. Come on, guy. It's a ism. No, Tasha. I can't trust y'all.
You should have voted in the poll.
I can't trust y'all.
We told y'all every vote count and y'all ignored the poll. Right. This is what happened when you don't vote. Your voice is not heard.
Now you want to come out here and beg. Marty J. Ball says, smelling like chitlins, Coke 45, Black and Miles, Negro spells. That's why we love you, Karen. D. Ramsey said, yes, it needs to be the title of Karen's second book.
I know, right? After people ain't shit.
Falcons Diva says, Rod, thank you for sharing your night. I'm so glad you had a good time, and your story about almost pissing yourself had me laughing in my car. Not too hard, because, well, I'm not sure if you've seen the Wanda Sykes stand-up where she talks about getting older and having to pee. I have. When I first watched it, I thought it was very funny. Now that I'm on the other side of 45, I know it can be true. Mm-hmm. Always make a restroom stop before leaving the venue, even if you don't think you have to go.
Come on, I try my best to do that.
I do like my grandma used to say, and just try. Dana says, you were talking about the voice of Kermit being fired and kind of froggily alluded to two issues he tried to resolve with Disney. Well, as to what they could be, no spoilers, but it sort of puts some of the scenes in the new season of Kimmy Schmidt in a new light, especially seeing as how Tina Fey tried to tell us she ain't forgot about Bill Cosby. I don't want to slander the man. It's not Cosby bad, but no spoilers, just maybe a weird person who's been in a weird job too long and forgot how to behave around people. Well, I gotta get on that Kimmy Schmidt. That's my show. D. Ramsey, PH Dunn says, I always wanted to ask what happens when you need to potty while podcasting. I mean, Karen just gets up and does it, I guess.
What?
I mean, I'm the only one that
come on
professional around here.
You sure is. Fuck that. I be drinking tea and I be drinking water.
I do too.
Yeah, and with the Crowdcast, I can't send them like a message within the program. Mm-hmm. So I just get my ass up and go to the bathroom.
Yep, that's all good.
Mm-hmm. I don't want people to see it if people lie.
Yeah, I try to cover for us so y'all normally don't hear it.
Mm-mm.
Girl, you can't get no infection in your booty hole. It's a booty hole.
It's a booty hole, even during the podcast.
Yeah, it is. Better use it.
Even E says, have never heard of this Charles Payne character in regards to the story about sexual harassment lawsuit, but he sounds coontastic. No amount of coconut oil will cure this guy's ash. This gives me an idea about creating a pay-per-view event called the Coon Battle Royale. 10 coons into the ring and only one leaves. Featuring Charles Payne, Charles Barkley, Jason Whitlock, Omarosa, Sage Steele, Stacey Dash, Ray Lewis, Steve Harvey, and Diamond and Silk. All weapons allowed. Would you watch and who would you put your money on? I would watch, and Ray Lewis has that easily.
What, he taking everybody out?
Yeah, now that OJ's out, you never know.
Right, you never know.
Really Dark Knight responds, when they are done with that Royal Rumble, the lights go out, the spotlight goes to the entry tunnel. Whoever's left gets to see OJ Simpson coming out the tunnel. Oh, he was on it. I'm putting my money on OJ. Ain't nobody out cooning that Negro. OJ gonna come through like the champ is here with his old ashy ass. All these fools are lightweights. And the poll was, have you ever pissed yourself? Only one comment, so people didn't want to tell their stories, but
you know they out there.
How many, what percentage of people you think pissed themselves to listen to this, Karen?
Depending on the
what do you think, just give me a number. Don't try to slide out of this.
20%.
20%. 61% of people that listen to this show have pissed themselves.
That's understandable.
You said 20. Nope, that's not understandable. That's 40% higher than what you said.
I didn't want to go too high.
10% said no. 29% said almost. Look.
Almost?
I feel like it happens to everybody at some point. It does. You know, I probably should have clarified this as an adult, but I feel like it happens to everybody just about at some point. You drink too much or something. Mm-hmm. You know, life is just, life is funny sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, I peed myself more than once. When I was pregnant, I peed on myself. When I sneezed or laughed hard, I peed on myself twice, two separate times. Then I vomited. When I vomited so violently, my body let go of everything, shaking my head. Ooh. Ooh.
You know, everything. They don't talk about that. Yeah, when you're pregnant, your body just does its own thing.
Mm-mm. No, thank you. Black Mama Monthly got 15 comments. Jesus Christ. I thought 10 was a lot.
They had a lot to say. I like Black Mama Monthly.
Well, we had episode 1485 with my man Brandon from the Say Something Nice podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we stumbled into that Black Mama Monthly at the end. That was my favorite part of the show. I could have did that for another hour.
Come on.
Then I photoshopped and made a Black Mama Monthly.
I like that.
Not Photoshop. I actually word edited. Anyway, made a Black Mama Monthly poster.
And that shit spread it like wildfire. They was like, hey.
Yeah, I spelled it wrong. I said Black Mama Monthly, which.
You probably should have kept that name, actually.
Yeah, I was like, this is fine. But I've been coming. By the way, I've been coming up with these ever since. I probably could make like one of these every day. Cause so many people have given ideas and then there's just so much stuff that I've already wanted to think about. So I might make some more of these and put them online and see what people think.
Oh yeah, those are hilarious.
Brooklyn Shoe Bay says, I was laughing so hard on the train when you guys started doing headlines for Black Mama Monthly during Sword Ratchetness. First off, I surely enough couldn't answer my grandmother's phone or door when I was a kid. I didn't even get a key to the door until I started college because you don't pay rent here. Now everything I thought I wouldn't say to my children comes flying out my mouth on the regular. One night I told my 10-year-old daughter to get off the computer and get ready for bed. She said, but mommy, I'm playing Minecraft. I shot back, get off that computer before I Minecraft you. Yo, oh my
That's
god.
That's how we do. That is how we do.
Black mamas will definitely turn a noun into a verb threat.
Yes!
I'm about to Genesis your ass if you don't get in that bed.
Right!
She looked up and said, what does that even mean? I said, try not to laugh. I don't know, but you don't want to find out. That's true. You don't want to find out.
No, you don't.
The first time I realized I was a true black mom was when my oldest daughter was 7 and wouldn't wear the animal shaped winter hat that she begged me to buy because some kids in her class teased her about it. Instead of being confident about her getting teased, I shouted, you think I give a doggone about what some 7-year-olds think? They not staying home with you when you get sick. Now put on that damn hat.
I know what's up. I don't care about your little feelings.
Then I froze and stared at my finger and said, oh my God, I just became my mom. Mm-hmm. Final story. A few months ago, my oldest daughter, now 12, asked if we could have sushi for dinner. I shot back, do you have sushi money?
Sushi is expensive.
Thinking I shot down the whole conversation. She smiled and said, yes, daddy gave me $20.
Oh shit.
What could I do at that point? I let her get sushi, LOL.
You're right, because she spent her own money.
I love you guys so much. I think I started listening to you in 2015 when I was going through my divorce with my husband. It was such a hard time. Your podcast really pulled me through. You still pull me through. Just want you to know that you are appreciated. Thanks, Brooklyn Shoe Babe.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Ty MF says, hey Rod and Karen, I think that Black Mama Monthly joint might be something. My first submission, close my door. How you heating up the outside is accelerating climate change.
Yes, that's a good one.
It could have a Mama of the Month feature in the same vein as Jet's Beauty of the Week, featuring famous mamas like Mama D, Draymond Green's mama, Miss Charlene, Rashida's mama, and many more. Yeah.
Yes. I like this one. Are you mad at a glass?
Mm-hmm.
Get your ass from in front of the TV.
Kevin Durant, mama, could be in there for the Mama of the Month.
Come on.
I can see that.
Yes.
Tiffany says, God damn, y'all. Thanks, as I am currently wiping up water off my clothes and tears from my eyes over Black Mama Monthly. That's so fun. What's so funny is that at some point in my life, I've either heard it from my own mother or grandmother and even said it to my 11-year-old son. I will say that joy I felt when his ass ran in the house saying, Mama, I beat the street lights is something I take pride in as a Black mama.
I beat the street lights, yes!
Listen, y'all ever look back at life and think about the things that are really important to you at like 14, 15, 16, you know, when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. Do y'all know how much fucking stress in my life was caused by goddamn streetlights? Cause my mom and dad would be like, be home by streetlights, and nothing was worse than when you had that hour that you go back and forth for daylight savings time and it started getting dark earlier. And you be like, God damn, it's only 7, run! It's like, I really have nightmares about streetlights turning on as I was like, running on my bike, sprinting fucking down the road. Like, I have to get home cause these motherfucking streetlights gonna get me whooped.
Right!
And the thing is, my parents weren't even like my parents never hit us for no reason or anything like that. My parents weren't even like that. Like, well, I should have been like, oh my God, they gonna kill me for not getting home for streetlights. But I always got my ass, I would be scared every time. It's crazy. I really and truly love our people, as our paths may be different, but a lot of our experiences are the same. You guys keep up the funny and don't make me give you something to cry about. And you know, that's the other thing too, right? All this is before the internet, and all of us had these similar parent experiences with our parents. Street lights being universal, give you something to cry about, universal. Like, mm-hmm. It's so weird. It's so weird.
Yes. Be like do you add essence to everything? Everything is plural.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Yeah, because somebody would add an S to something, you'd be like, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has that S on
Neiman's it. Marcus. Is it who owns it?
Yeah.
Is it Neiman's or Marcus? I don't know. 5 stars by D Ramsey PH Dunn. Evan Ross and Ashley Simpson's daughter name is Jagger Snow Ross. Oh. So okay, they just call her Jagger Snow.
Yeah, like all these So
kinda
names.
Like it's kinda like Blue Ivy. I get it. Black Mama Monthly would give me my life everlasting if I could submit an article. Please have Brandon back ASAP. We're gonna work on it. Noah as Love says 5-star show. Thank you. And also says, where is Willie Lump Lump and Wafflehead Fred today? Yeah. Another article. Slapped into the middle of next week. Time machines for your convenience.
Ah, yes! Right.
Jamil Scorpio says, I don't think it's a coincidence R. Kelly is doing this in states where the age of consent is 16 and 17. This made me think, why is there a federal law with regard to age to consume alcohol and tobacco, even gambling? There's no federal law for the age of consent. It all seems funny to me. And Anonymous says, in regard to the federal law, alcohol and tobacco sales, states don't have to comply if they don't want to. They'll just be financially penalized from the government in terms of reduced aid and funding for road repairs. Well, even in that case, there's no penalty with sexual consent age. It's not like, well, if you want to make your consent age of consent in your state 16, we're, as a government, we're not gonna fund certain things. So it does, I mean, the government definitely doesn't incentivize you to have a 18 as your age of consent.
No, it doesn't. I read an article about young brides and children getting married really young, and I did not know this, but in the United States in America, they have like a few thousand children every year that get married, and I think they said the youngest is like 13-14, and once you're that age, you're literally, your parents have to consent. Like, there's no law that says, we don't give a fuck what your parents say. If your parents say, yes, this old ass fucking man can marry my child, and if they sign off, he legally has the right to marry you. Like, if you really need to change the law, you can go, no, 18, I'm gonna go fuck what your parents say. Your parents literally can't ship you off. And they had situations where, you would have like a 13-year-old and a 14-year-old, like little boy and little girl get married. Mm-hmm. Shit like that, where even here in the United States, a lot of people just assume that, you know, that shit happened quote unquote elsewhere. No. It's a lot of children who get shipped off here in the United States. Like, there needs to be laws against that. You need to, you know, need to penalize parents. And like you said, penalize the state, because there's no incentive for the states to go, no, parent, you cannot marry your 13-year-old off to a fucking adult.
Yeah, well, it's part of what's so kind of scary about all this shit, too, is how much of this shit comes from, like, religion.
Right.
You know, like, you can, you know, essentially, you know, you, a lot of people are gonna hide behind, you can't tell me what to do with my religion. So, you know, that's one of the reasons that children can be so vulnerable in different people's religions and shit.
Yeah, and a lot of it boils down to the same way they treat women. Children were considered fucking property. Children were actually, more children you had years ago were considered wealth. The more children, the bigger your family, the more wives you had, that shit equaled wealth.
Right. But yeah, that's, you know, that is interesting though, that there's no penalty or anything from the government oversight to be like, let's try to get this age of consent up. And yeah, I mean, dude figured it out, you know? I mean, the other thing too, to be honest with y'all, like, 18 is legal and everything, but it's easy to take advantage of somebody that young when somebody's that old and shit. But there's, you know, like, it's arbitrary as fuck how we pick things. To, you know, you can go to war 18, you can do, but you can't drink till you're 21. Like, it's you can't rent a car till 25. It's, you know, it's arbitrary how we pick all these things, to be honest. But it just feels like, you know, dude knows what he's doing, and he found the loopholes. And it, because our society does pretty much hate women, it's enough for a lot of people to defend him, you know. Right. Because they like his music and stuff, which, you know, it's just another whole ball of wax, because it's like, what's wrong with liking somebody's music but understanding that person is disgusting? If that's what you choose to do, why do you have to then become their biggest offender? Because, you know, I don't understand that. Just, why can't you just like him, and when people are going in on him, shut the fuck up?
I do, because it boils down to what you said before. Everybody got that quote unquote teams, and people don't want to look dumb. They don't want to look stupid. They won't love their shit and not have to deal with any repercussion of people going, fuck that nigga. You know, he's my fave. I don't give a fuck. And they know, it's like almost they got to defend whatever their agenda or whatever their brand is, quote unquote, versus just admitting, put it like this. People don't want to be looked at as ain't shit, because if you're the type of person that says I enjoy R. Kelly, you're literally saying you're ignoring all the other shit, and people don't want to be quote unquote looked at or framed as a bad person or a non-caring person. But a lot of these people, they'll be like, I like R. Kelly, you'll be like, hey, would you send your child with R. Kelly? Fuck no. Well, then what the fuck are you talking about?
Right. D-Rad's PH done also sent a picture of Thomas Ravenel, but I know what he looked like. We all know what he looked like. That's what when we do white people news, I'll be putting the pictures in the chat. Amani says, don't forget Pacific Rim 2 with John Boyega is dropping next February to right after Black Panther and before Ava's joint. It's about to be the blackest month ever. I didn't even realize that's when it was dropping.
Yeah, and whatchamacallit, yeah, I think that said January is that Taraji P. Henson.
Proud Mary.
February, and something else coming out in March. I forgot what's coming out in March.
Yeah, something a lot of black. I mean, it's gonna be a lot of good movies. I think in Ava's movie coming out in March.
That's what's coming out in March. Yes.
Yeah, Wrinkle in Time, and Karen might be. I like I just said like Ava, like I know, like you know me and Ava, you know we talk. And Karen might be onto something with that layaway plan. I remember when Interstellar came out, you could pay $40 or whatever to see it as many times as you wanted. Let them have that deal for Black Panther, and niggas will be camped out all month.
Oh, shit, I wish you could play a flat rate for unlimited viewings.
I can't wait for next month's Black Mama issue. We'll finally learn who your little friends are.
Yeah! I would like that. Black Mama Monthly. Who is your people? That's what my mama would say. We need to know who their people is.
Amazing episode. I wish his clip runneth over was going. Oh, wait. I was sure his clip runneth over was going to be the show title until Black Mama Monthly stole the show. Kirk Henderson says, man, Karen, you were on to something with that layaway plan. There's a service that actually is in line with that. Check out moviepass.com. Yeah, I had that. Mm-hmm. You can get one movie ticket a day and it's only $14.99 a month. Wait, they must have lowered the price recently or something, because it was more than that when I was on that shit. That shit was like $60 a month or something, or $30 a month, I think. You just have to go to participating theaters, but they have them everywhere. Oh yeah, I was on it, dog. The thing is, they don't cover 3D.
Oh, they don't? Well, no. That defeats the purpose.
Was not a fan of that.
Yeah.
EVE says, I'm side-eyeing those parents who were looking for R. Kelly to develop their daughter's music career. There were clues in the article that told us that they were fully aware of R. Kelly's history with young girls. Mm-hmm. The mother even said she didn't think his history would be a problem because she stick by her daughter's side like glue. Right. But predators are sneaky. If they want something, they'll find a way to get it. Ultimately, R. Kelly bears the brunt of the blame for being the creepy pedo that he is. But I don't understand how people continue to defend him or pretend he won't do the same to their young daughters, save our black girls. You know what, Evie? I didn't even say it on the show that day because it really was, I didn't want to get bogged down in it. But yeah, those parents sharing the blame.
Yes, they do.
It doesn't mean it's their fault or it's not more R. Kelly's fault or any of that shit. But I mean, you didn't do your due diligence to protect your kid. But more importantly than that, I can never confirm this, and this is only just my speculation. Okay, this is not to. I have a hard time believing they didn't think they were gonna get some kind of money out of it.
Right.
The dude has paid off so many girls and their families. At this point, like in that article we read, 20 something just were just the lawsuits he settled out of court with people. That's not counting the payments off the record to people for their silence. And it feels like a lot of these black families and a lot of these people in these girls' lives kind of sold them out for some coins.
Yes, they did.
Or felt possibly I wouldn't get justice in court anyway, so I might as well get some money. Now I'm not knocking that second one, to be honest, because I think too many people get so get so high on their high horse and so more like not everything is a fucking Law and Order episode. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people really do go, I'm not gonna be able to be the one that brings down this millionaire, and if we can get $20,000 out of it, then we'll just, that's just what we're gonna get out of it, because everything's already happened. But some of this shit sounds like you put your daughter in harm's way to be groomed.
Right.
Like, cause like those, some of them settlement cases are shit like people being like, this dude kept coming up to schools after the class and was out and hollering at 14, 15 year old girls. That's very hard for a parent to stop.
Correct.
But that's a completely different thing from, he gonna fly us out, we gonna talk to him in the green room. Yeah. I heard that he had fucked these little girls, but he wasn't guilty in court, so I thought no big deal. I'm like, did you really think no big deal, or did you think it'll be worth it if my girl becomes a star? Maybe she'll be the next Aaliyah. Maybe it's worth it no matter what happens. Maybe we'll get a payout at the end, something like that. Like, that's the shit I wonder about, because like one of the girls that came out, and they did some videos and stuff later, and one of the girls that came out was even saying something like, well, my dad knew what this deal was. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he knew I was gonna stay there for 6 months and da da da. I'm like, okay, so what did you think you were getting out of this? Cause even that's too much, in my opinion. As a parent, you've already crossed a big ass line when you're like, yeah, my daughter will be staying with a known pedophile for 6 months. Yeah, I'm sure it'll work out. It'll help her career out. I'm like, now it sounds like you just upset you didn't get that money.
Yeah, now they're going, well, I didn't get no return on my profit, which happened to be your child. And it's either pay me or return, you know, my property, which is their child. And now your child is like, I don't want to come back, and you want to cry now. And it's one of these things, but like you say, both of those situations are different, and a lot of these parents may have failed in both situations. But for the parents that had the knowledge, knew, asked people, and they was like, something wrong here, and you still shipped your child out, yes, you're not 100% to blame, but you are partially to blame, because you purposely and you strategically put your child in harm's way, and you didn't give a fuck about their well-being and their safety.
Yep. I'm like, what's supposed to happen here? And I mostly just feel bad for those girls, because even the people that quote unquote turned on R. Kelly were all former girl. They were those former people that were in that circle because he indoctrinated them. Like,
yeah, and
they might not wake up, if ever, but much later in life they might look back and be like, this dude used and abused me.
Yeah, and he's been doing this for so long, you're not even talking about the girls that quote unquote aged out, because it's not like
that's what I'm saying. Okay. We are some of these girls. The two of the main people in that article were girls that either aged out or woke up. You know, the one he keeps around that's older, it sounds like she's been there since the first sex tape scandal,
right?
So she just trains these other girls up. That's how they knew so much about the inner workings, because they were two girls who went through that system, basically, you know. And so the parents sharing some of that blame. Mm-hmm. And I hate to be that way, I really do, but I'm not gonna sit up here and lie, act like, oh no, I'm sure they just got tricked. How?
Right, and put like this, with Google around, you mean to tell me you couldn't Google? Let's
just
say
in 2015, listen, oblivious, right? Fuck Google. It happened in 2015.
Yes.
You couldn't even tell another parent, well, my daughter's working with R. Kelly, without them being like, what? Yeah, she gonna go out there and live for 6 months. I there's no excuse. It's bullshit. If they say, I know at this point they just want their daughter back, so you gotta say what you gotta say. I get right. It. But yeah, only an idiot would go, oh, I'm sure they did. They just got suckered by R. Kelly. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. That's my belief. That's my belief. I don't cuss much. Hold on. Did I read that whole one? Yeah, okay. This one's last one. Falcons Diva says, I don't cuss much. Hey, Ryder Karen, great show, and Brandon is always a welcome addition. I don't cuss much, but fuck R. Kelly. My first introduction to R. Kelly was my baby sister. She was 16, trying to date a 21-year-old. When I told her that was inappropriate, she replied, age ain't nothing but a number, throwing down ain't nothing but a thing. What the fuck? I didn't cuss at all back then, but I wanted to. She explained that was Aaliyah's song and how Aaliyah was with R. Kelly. There was a time when I didn't listen to any secular music, so I didn't know either of them. I told my sister that I didn't care who Aaliyah was, and probably followed it with a black mama phrase because she was living with me at the time. Fast forward less than a year later, when my baby sister was back living with our mother, long story, she got pregnant by his 21-year-old. Now I'm not blaming R. Kelly for my baby sister getting pregnant. Similar to all the R. Kelly stories, my mother is to blame for my sister getting caught up with that dude. He was my mother's drug dealer. Ooh, wow, that's deep. But I had such a strong dislike for that man. Yeah, fuck R. Kelly and his nasty ass music, old bitch ass. All is not lost though. My nephew is a handsome 21-year-old man, and my baby sister's doing well, but fuck R. Kelly. Yeah. And the poll was easy. Would you subscribe to Black Mama Monthly? 89.5% of y'all said yep.
Yep.
10.5% of y'all would not subscribe to Black Mama Monthly. Y'all must be white people. Max says, I need to get a subscription for my wife. I wonder if they have 6-month-old issues at the beauty shops.
Yes! with the pages folded and crumpled up.
Right.
And the address blacked out in Black Magic Markle.
Episode 1486, Mike Vick is in the doghouse. We talked about stuff. We'll see. We got four comments. Rigo says, Hi fam, I missed the Twitter discussion, but hearing you talk about it is unbelievable. You're absolutely right though. We can't act like violence against women isn't just as bad in our communities. When my girlfriend and I first started dating, she's black and I'm Mexican American. I did initially think it was weird that she asked me to take a pic of my driver's license since we had worked together and known each other for 2 years. But she was real with me and she let me know she had to be safe when it got down to it. And honestly, it didn't bother me because, surprise, I wasn't planning on doing anything to her except showing her a good time. If you got nothing to hide, then there's literally no downside to letting women do whatever they have to in order to protect themselves, especially in this world. Keep up the great work, Rigo. Well,
I agree.
Yeah, don't nobody want to date no insecure ass nigga like that anyway. Right. No, you can't. Why? What you about to do? You about to get me robbed or whatever the fuck? Like, nigga, just go. Like, that was the other thing that was kind of shady, right? Because niggas would be like, well, if you going on a date with me, you should already trust me on this first date. You shouldn't need, why are you going on a date if you feel uncomfortable? I'm like, okay, but if her taking a picture of your license plate make you feel uncomfortable, why did you ask on a date?
Come on.
Like, are we both saying the same thing? If you think she's gonna set you up to get robbed, why are you going on a date with somebody you think gonna get you robbed? Like, it's the same shit, dog. Like, just, Nick, motherfucker's stupid. D. Ramsey, PH Dunn says, I started listening to the podcast this morning and my soul hurts knowing that in 2017, the majority of people do not care about the unspeakable acts of violence towards black women and trans. Lastly, the definition of brinksmanship is the art of practice of pursuing a dangerous policy to the limits of safety before stopping, typically in politics. During the Cold War, this term was described as a tactic to approach the verge of war in order to persuade one's opponent to retreat. An anonymous says, the first date I ever went on being married for 20 years and then getting divorced, I texted my girlfriend my date license plate number just in case he was a killer. I don't understand how that's any different than telling someone the address or where you're spending the night. Your address is way more personal information considering any person walking the street can see your license plate number as well as traffic lights. You can mail your tickets, they can mail you tickets by taking pictures of your license plate. Maybe if that fool had just asked before speeding away, he might have learned something. Shaking my damn head. It was funny because I don't know if it was a real thing that he did or not. I mean, he didn't say he didn't do it, but it was a debate that it caused that really,
right, is the problem.
Yeah, sometimes I just think about how much pain men and women have caused to each other.
A lot.
And obviously more men have done more harm to women, obviously. Correct. But still, just how much harm has been done. And how people can't even, they refuse to even listen. It's like they just line up in these lines where it's like, dick's on this side, pussy's on that side, let's go. Mm-hmm. And everybody just starts fucking fighting. And I'm like, how can it just be that simple to y'all? Don't you feel like a third grader? Like, don't you feel like a child right now that you don't discuss anything with nuance? Like, you can't have any level of like, okay, I can see your point. It's like, why are you at each other's throats over this shit, man? Some of this shit seems so simple to me.
Right.
Anyway, the poll was, is it offensive for a woman to take a pic of a license plate on a car of her date? Yes or no? 2% of the audience, one person said yes. 98% of the audience said no. Kyle said, men are such fucking babies. You can't tell women to take precautions and then get mad when they do. Which is the other thing, right? If something was to happen to some woman on some date, niggas cannot wait to be like, well, why'd you go on a date with that guy? That's why date rape is one of those things that the most common form is rape of someone rapes you that knows you. But two, it's one of the reasons that it's not reported as much. Cause motherfuckers know what the response gonna be. Well, why'd you even be in the proximity of a man? But yet, if women say men are trash, niggas gonna get mad. But the number one defense against any woman that ever has something happen to them is always, why did you do something that got attention of a man? But we not supposed to say men are trash, right? Men ain't bad. We gotta protect these brothers. We gotta, you know, gotta pat us on the back. Gotta put our egos above the safety of the women and the femmes in our community. We have to do that. We can't possibly have it the other way. Like, it's so fucked up, man. Cause niggas get so mad about that shit, but they refuse to see any reason that women would be mad about the way they get treated. Anyway, it's frustrating. Dudes stay thinking they special, and for no fucking reason, men don't come with a sign that says, this man is not a rapist. Men are trash.
Come on.
And Slick Foley says, nah, nigga. Yeah, man, I honestly would not be offended by it. And I mean, obviously I haven't gone on a date in a long time, with somebody I don't know, you know, whatever. But even if I was just hanging out with a friend and she got in my car and was like, hold on, let me take a picture of lights, I'd be like, that's straight. Like, I'm like, honestly, it's nothing to be offended by.
Oh, I had went out, and I've known this coworker for years, but I had went out, with one of my, male coworkers. We just went out to eat to talk and stuff like that. And I actually sent Roger his telephone number, the location we was at, and I told my coworker, I was like, I'm just letting you know that I did, send my husband your information, cause, you know, if something happened to me, you gonna get contacted. He said, that's cool.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. Like, I know you, but my husband don't know you, sweetie.
Right. I think people take that shit too personal, but safety is safety, man. Like I said, every man has had a situation with some woman they care about where you said, hit me up when you get home. And you know in your heart of hearts, you didn't do that because you thought they would be drunk driving. You didn't do that because, you did that because of men. Like, whether they were catching an Uber home and you were worried about that, or a taxi, or walking home, or whatever, like, that's the shit you worry about. You know, when my wife leaves this house in the morning, I'm not worried about a fucking pack of wild dogs rolling up on her. You know,
there's some dangerous ass dogs. How do you get a driver's license?
Like, why do so many men get out the car and put the gas in the car for that woman? Like, it's not just chivalry. Why does the chivalry exist? Why, what is the code that brought that about? Like, that's the shit that people don't want to discuss, but it's a reason for it, right? It's not happening spontaneously. There's a reason that you have to be like, this woman's under my protection. There's a reason that when you walk and you hold hands or whatever, dudes won't be like, hey bitch, what's over them titties or whatever. Woo, look at that ass. Let me blow this horn. It don't happen. It doesn't mean that you think people not looking at that ass when you hold their hands. No, they looking. They know this is the protection of a man. So like, yeah, this is the shit, but people, so the male ego is so fragile that it has to be placed above the safety of everybody else. Which, you know, which is sad, really, you know.
Right. And also, and it's sad, and I like this feature. I haven't used this feature yet. I'm not sure if they have it on everything, but now on your Apple phone, you can actually pin where you're going, and you can actually send somebody your location, so that like as you're driving or as you're traveling, it actually lets them know like where you are and what time you got there.
Right.
You ain't got that feature for no reason, and that feature ain't for men, because men don't give a fuck about that feature.
Well, the stories that we've covered about someone being sexually assaulted by a driver of a Lyft or Uber or something like
right.
that, we've never had a story where it's like this woman took advantage of this drunk man.
Come on.
Like, you know, but like I said, people more worried about the ego of it than anything else. So, you know, I wasn't surprised by the conversation, but it was just, I tried to stay out of it, but the shit went on for like 3 days. It was stupid.
Correct.
Episode 1487, North North, was our Game of Thrones recap with Mel from the Good and Terrible podcast and Justin, who you guys might know from Balls Deep Sports. By the way, Justin won't be able to be here next week. I mean, we're still doing Balls Deep, but he won't be able to do the recap for Game of Thrones, so we have to figure something out.
No problem.
Anonymous says, I'm so glad Game of Thrones is back. I ain't watched that show since the first episode of season one, but I live for your recaps. They are so thorough and so much fun that I keep up with all the talking think pieces. My favorite part is when you made the spades metaphors concerning Cersei and her possible kingdom allies. I can't wait to see next week's recap. You all are the best. Thanks, Anonymous.
Thank you.
Evie says, I always love it when Mel and Justin are on a recap together. The season of Game of Thrones is fixing to be lit. Mm-hmm. I hope it fixing is. Amani says, everybody swears this year is going to be Stark's revenge tour, and I'm still waiting for that other shoe to drop, and they Cleveland it up in the last minute. John, right? I agree. They the Browns. John is a little too confused on the next fight. Sansa spent too much time in King's Landing learning to be petty, and Arya ain't looking to reunite with her family anytime soon. Bran's been taking the biggest L's in the whole series. If his dumb ass let the White Walkers through the wall, Mira gotta fuck him up for making her carry him this whole way.
Right.
Still the best recap in the game. It's always great to hear Mel and Justice problematic light-skinned ass. And shout out to Karen for bodying that. Shadow Dog video of women podcast to stay moisturized.
Oh, thank you for watching that clip, baby.
Yeah, and the poll was a fairly simple one. Does Arya have bloodlust now? Justin speculates she has bloodlust. She won't be able to stop killing. She'll kill all kinds of random people now. Is everybody gonna get killed and she can't stop herself? I said I don't feel that way yet. You know, not from what I've seen, but I guess if we show up next week and she's fucking killed them Lannisters and wearing Ed Sheeran's face, then we can all go, oh, I guess she can't stop killing. But yeah, 91% of y'all say no. She is looking for revenge. And 9% of y'all say yes, she does have bloodlust and she can't control it anymore. So I don't know, man. Y'all might be on it. Just always right about something.
Dad, it'd be fucked up, dude.
I never know what he's gonna be right about every recap this show, and I always dismiss his opinion. And it always comes back to bite me later when I'm like, damn, this nigga was right. He must, you know, the writers must know what he's on his mind or something.
Right.
All right, let me see. Are there any voicemails? The way this thing been acting stupid lately, I'm gonna assume not, but
we can check. I don't know. We trying to get it together with the voicemail.
Yeah, I don't think if it is, they're not picking up, so we'll go to the emails. We got a couple. Let's see here. We got one from Courtney who says, hey, Rod and Karen, love you guys. As always, I was listening to your episode this week and I was cracking me up at Black Mama Monthly jokes, so I made y'all a quick cover while I was bored at work today. Hope y'all like it. Love, Courtney. I will put it on the screen so you guys can see it. By the way, this looks really good. You put mine to shame. Yours looks so much better than mine. But yeah, I'm gonna try to do more of these. I might make yours the show art. Black Mama Monthly, July 2017. 32 different Nintendos and how to get them to stop playing.
Yes!
Guide to Boo Boo the Fool. How to make sure your kids know you don't look like him.
Yes!
McDonald's money. Who has it?
Yes!
What time is street lights? The definitive guide to when they should have their asses in the house. Come through! Do I like it, Courtney? I love it. Oh my God.
Oh, that is the best.
That's the show art for the day. That's the show art. You saved me some time. That's
That's beautiful.
Oh my God. That's
hilarious, baby. And she got the Ebony style. She got the woman propped to the side.
You must be a professional to get that picture.
Right. She did a photo shoot with the model.
That was perfect. Oh my God.
Oh, baby, we like that one.
Last one, we got one from Leonardo, who says police shootings. Hey guys, I love your discussion about police shootings and would like to add to the conversation. I work for a company that purchased settlements for about a year, and I learned that a lot of these police incidents, like shootings and brutality, never really affect the police stations or the officers because of insurance. Due to the fact that not many stations have the money to pay out these millions of dollars, they have to go to insurance companies to write structured annuities. These millions of dollars that we all hear about are actually paid out in increments to the victims. This allows these different police forces to not actually put in the full amount. So instead of paying $1 million, they might put in a couple hundred thousand into an annuity that pays out what is supposed to be equal to $1 million over a lifespan, over a time span. I hope I paint a decent picture of what's going on. This is only part of the bigger issue. I love to see you guys keep talking about these topics and wide range of other things that affect our community. Sorry for being so long-winded. Love. You weren't long-winded.
And I didn't know that, baby.
And I did not know that as well.
I ain't no paying insurance policies.
Yeah. So, look, that's it. It was a short one today.
Our question is that was something people sent us or no?
But, we did have some people send us some stuff, and I'm gonna open it on the air.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you thought it was over, Karen? Is that what you thought was happening? Mm-mm. No. All right. So we got this. Who's this from?
I don't know.
It's from Amazon Fulfillment Services. Oh, my dog.
Girl, you can't get no infection in your booty hole. It's a booty. Girl, you can't get no infection. Girl, you can't get no. Girl, you can't get no infection in your booty hole. It's a booty hole.
Who remixed that? I didn't do that.
I don't know, but honey, you remixed the hell out of it.
Oh, I got the Manny Marable, Malcolm X, Life of Reinvention. That's right. A listener told me to add it, and they would send it to me. Ghost Azul. Karen and Rod, a volume for your collection. Enjoy. Regards, Mark. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
And, yeah, I'll make sure. I'll probably read this after the Angela Davis joint. Oh, it's not as big as I thought it was. Good. Okay, I probably can read this. So, look, I'm not the best reader, so like I read and I do understand and I do take things in. I'm great at that, but I read slow depending on what I'm reading.
Right, because you want to get a true understanding.
Yeah, if it's like really detailed heavy and stuff, then it takes me a while, but I'm zooming through that Angela Davis book though, so I don't know. Depends on what how it's written.
Okay, you need help with that other one?
No, I got it. Okay. I think I got it.
All right, so we got this one, and it's from Finish Line. Finish Line? What could this be?
I don't know.
All right. By the way, if you guys are trying to mail us something, go to the blackoutist.com/about. That's our mailing address.
Mm-hmm, that's our mailing address.
So that's where we have our P.O. box, and we'll go pick it up and stuff.
Mm-hmm, we'll go pick it up and check on and stuff. So you want to send us any goodies or anything, and people have, and we thank you for doing that, because you guys go above and beyond, and we just thank you. Y'all encourage us to keep going, because we know that you are real people, and y'all actually do love and care about us. You need help, or you got it, buddy?
I said I got it, woman. Trying to say I'm not a man.
Black Bibles Monthly. Why don't he ever ask for instructions? Why don't they ever want your help?
Okay, this one must be you, because it's small. So, I think we got some shoes, is what we got.
Oh, shit.
And I got some shoes. Zoom Witness. Okay, come through. Oh, nigga, some basketball shoes. Oh shit. Oh, that new shoe smell. Nike size 12, come through.
Oh, you showing yours? I show mine.
Yeah, I show. Oh, your shoes look good too. What kind of shoes you get?
Shit, some more running shoes, dog.
What brand is yours?
Brooks.
Oh yeah, that's the you just got on them Brooks. Come through. Look at these.
Oh shit, my ass gonna be really running now.
I'm gonna be looking like somebody at the gym. I don't even know.
Oh shit, I'm gonna have to join them bitches be running club now.
And I actually had a name of the person that sent me this. It's in Facebook.
Thank you, baby.
I gotta go find it real quick. But thank you. Yeah, man. What a way to end the day, you know?
Oh, thank you so much, honey. I'm gonna be running. I really like running, honey. You gonna make me go get some old yoga pants and shit and get me some old top so I could be flawless out there with the white women.
With the white women.
Yeah, you know they be out there running for no reason. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna be out there running for no reason with them.
Yeah, well, this is a banner day, guys, is what I'm saying. Okay, we ended the show with free shit, which is pretty much the best way.
Yes, and we honey, we thank you everybody that thinks about us, thank you everybody that donates. Y'all just don't know, when we say y'all keep the boat afloat, y'all literally keep the boat afloat. Y'all keep us encouraged, y'all keep us going, you know, just like y'all real human beings, we are too. So you know, it's kind of a love affair with us and our fans. We love y'all, and y'all love us in return, and we can't tell y'all thank you enough.
You know what this means is that now some person shopping at Goodwill is going to get some gently used basketball shoes. I can finally get rid of my old shoes. So if y'all see a homeless person out here hooping these niggas up, just know that it's the shoes, okay? Oh, it was Matt who sent us this. Matt R, man. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, baby.
Appreciate you. That is,
yeah, honey.
That's the hookup right there,
yeah,
dog.
Thank you, honey. Cause yes, I'm be out there with the white women in the yoga class, and honey, with my colorful shit on, and my shit don't match with the socks, honey. I'm gonna have myself a ball.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we definitely feel loved, man.
We do. I feel so loved. I really do. Thank you.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow. We don't have guests scheduled for this week yet, but we'll figure everything out this week. We'll be back tomorrow, and all the people that made the logos for us, they have agreed to, you know, sign a waiver and sell us the logo. So eventually we'll have merchandise and gear with those new logos for all the fans and stuff. So
yes,
that should be cool too.
Yes, I'm excited about that. And I forgot the day, but it'll be just in time for the Black Guy Who Tips day. It's coming up soon. Mm-hmm. So this will give people time to order their stuff.
Ain't it our anniversary?
Yes.
Yeah, it's our anniversary. September 2nd.
Okay. I was like, I don't want to fuck up the day.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, go see Girls Trip. We saw it already. It's dope.
So much fun. And for those of you our premium, our review of it is up.
Right. So go see that, and we'll be back tomorrow. Till then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.